Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent the hit. But the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame. And never take no wooden nickels when they all change. I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
they say a picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick. But it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Breeze told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right. Good evening, good evening. Peace, power, and love to all. Another Monday. And this is the Path to Party Radio Network. And this is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. This show I'm on to touch on some things, and I'm feeling like this show may be a little bit explicit. I want to talk about now that George Floyd's murderer was found guilty. But during that whole process, the uptick in police violence is in an upward momentum. So I want to talk real solutions to this problem tonight. And I'm going to be very vocal. I'm going to be very blunt and matter of fact. So I'm not trying to offend anyone, but I'm going to say some things tonight that I think need to be said, need to be heard, and as well as some things that we really need to stop procrastinating about. And start putting some shit into action as opposed to just protest and marching and all of that, forgiving our enemy, because time is out for the forgiveness. The forgiveness factor, you forgive for when they atone for their mistakes. You forgive people when they apologize for what they done wrong. We have no business, and I'm going to say this, we have no business being so forgiving with an open enemy that is consistently on his job, gunning us down. And like I say, during the midst of the George Floyd trial, we have a killing 10 miles away from where the trial was taking place. Not to mention the numerous others that have happened over the past few days, as well as, like I've said once before, you have these civilian nobodies getting involved now. I saw a video the other day, and this, I think he was a Marine or whatever it was. Anyway, he was military, big white guy. He looked to be about maybe 6'2", somewhere in there. Maybe he was solid, but he was accosting a smaller individual. And he just happened to be black. I thought that the young man was a teenager, but after I read the story, I found out that he was 23 years old or 24, one of the two. I believe he was 23 years old. Nonetheless, much smaller, and I don't know if you all saw the video, and he was very aggressive. He had his wife there with him. They were both being very cocky, arrogant, this young brother, just for walking through the neighborhood. Long story short, I don't know if it was the next day or a couple of days had went by, but the neighborhood went over. Some of the brothers and sisters got together and went back to that neighborhood, and I loved every minute of what I saw, because honestly, that is what we need to do. In every situation, whether it be a civilian, one of these ignorant Trump racists, or whether it be one of these racist killer cops, we need to start paying visits. And we need to be specific. And we also need to be organized in this. And I said, that's the best thing that I saw in a while. Yeah, we need to start paying visits. We need to start going to these police departments, these city halls, these city council meetings. We need to raise hell. And like John Lewis said, we need to get in good trouble. And it's time that we get in some good trouble. And I've said this time and time again, if we come together and stay together on some of this, it'll be non-existent. And what we're seeing on a consistent basis is our genocide, because we refuse to make a proper stance. We refuse to the situation. We're just in refusal of it, and we act as if nothing's going on. And with all this happening to our people, we got a lot of work to do. Now, I mean, I'm kind of split about the George Floyd situation. I'm happy that his family got justice, or some inkling of justice, because he's yet to be sentenced, and he will be sentenced by the judge, not the jury. That was his, you know, it was his choice to either be sentenced by the judge or by the jury, and he chose to be sentenced by the judge. And I feel like he made that choice because he knew that jury was going to find him guilty. And if he had left his fate in the hands of that jury, he would have probably gotten maximum time. I'm just hoping that this judge does the right thing in sentencing him, because we have saw in so many other occasions and situations like this where these cops get a slap on the wrist type sentence, and either that or they are not prosecuted at all. And that's been happening too much. Like with the situation where they shot the young lady four times, the girl that had the knife. They're not going to file charges on that cop. That cop showed up. He didn't assess the situation. He just saw a lady with a knife. And I have saw so many situations where they take the time to be human with their own and converse enough to talk them down without having to murder them. I saw a video just the other day where this cop was basically begging this white boy to lay down, which he didn't. And he kept getting up and he kept running up on the policeman. And long story short, he got in the policeman's car and drove off. Now, this is how they police themselves, people who look like them. Had that been anybody other than a Caucasian male, we would have read about that situation, because he would have gotten shot dead before he had an opportunity to get into a police car. Now, like I say, Derek Chauvin did the right thing by asking the judge to sentence him, but I'm still not, like I say, all that thrilled because this is one out of thousands. This is only one out of thousands, and there are many more, unfortunately, and as we are seeing, that are going to continue to happen until we do something different. I've been really trying to keep up with a lot of stuff. And one of the things that I went back and revisited was Amber Geiger. And for those of you who don't know, that's the killer cop bitch that shot Botham John dead in his living room while he was eating ice cream. So it's like, we're not safe anywhere. We're not safe at home. We're just not safe. I'm tired of feeling on edge. I'm tired of walking out my door every day wondering if today I may become a hashtag. And that's a hell of a burden to carry on a daily basis. And I know it's not just me. It's probably thousands of black men who feel the same way that I do. And like I say, I've been keeping tabs on this because I knew that she had filed for an appeal. Her lawyer had filed for her an appeal. So let's just go back to that particular case. You know, we have a young man who was doing great things and who was destined to do even greater things had his life not been taken. You know, and they done renamed a street after him here in Dallas, and I'm just like, so what? I mean, that's what they do when they are wrong instead of atoning and making things right. They give us tokens. You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, anything is wrong with that, but that's not shit, considering that that young man lost his life at the hands of a devil. And like I was saying, this no good killer, murderer, hey, I mean, where is their remorse? And did any of you pay attention to Derek Chauvin's mugshot? The arrogance on his face. Most mugshots, you're not smiling, you're no expression, but he had that expression of cockiness still, that expression of arrogance, as if he knows he's going to get off. And honestly, I was telling my wife, I was like, the sad thing is, yeah, he's guilty, but honestly, we don't know what is going to happen to him. And even if they do sentence him to 20 years or whatever, how do we know he's there? You know, I don't put it past this system to take one of their own and just stash them away somewhere in a very safe place where they're not be noticed and not known, and let that be that. Because I'm curious to know if Amber Geiger has even been in jail and hasn't served enough time in my eye to even deserve an appeal. But yet and still, here she is with an appeal. And with Derek Chauvin, so he's got 8 weeks to go before, well, 7 weeks to go now before he's, and his lawyer can file an appeal in 4 weeks. Well, 3 more weeks now. So his lawyer can actually file an appeal against his conviction before he's even sentenced. So where is the justice in that? And then where is their integrity? Where is their humanity, their morals, their values, their compassion, their empathy? You kill a man and you want free? And Amber Geiger's hearing, her lawyer will be arguing her appeal on tomorrow, people. Tomorrow. This is the same murderer that I say, and this is just my theory, but I feel that she had animosity towards this young man. Because it had been reported that she had went to the manager's office on him several times because he played his music loud. He sung in a church. My wife actually went to the same church that he was a member of. So they said from time to time he would play his gospel music rather loud. So this is my theory, and like I say, this is only my theory, but it was like she had had enough. Management wasn't doing anything. Well, management wasn't doing anything to appease that bitch. So she, being a Dallas police officer, and I also heard that she worked security part-time there, which means she could have possibly had a master key. So that's something else to think about as well, because how was she able to open his door, which was shut and they say automatically locked? See, where's her remorse for walking in that man's apartment, shooting him dead? No, this bitch wants free. And her lawyer starts arguing her appeal tomorrow in Dallas. When I read that last week, I was infuriated because I get so sick of these pigs killing us at their discretion and concocting some bullshit story to get away with it. Because just like with the situation with George Floyd, had it not been for that young lady coming forward with that video was everything to that case. And she said, she did an interview, I can't remember which news station it was with, but I remember hearing the young sister say, the only reason that she uploaded the video was because they were trying to cover it up there in Minnesota. So she put the video out there. And like I say, had it not been for that video, they were going to lie like they always do. I mean, I was reading a case, actually, that made the news here, and it happened a year ago here in Fort Worth, Texas. There was an elderly man and woman, and that's why I don't give a damn about these no-knock-ass warrants, because these punk-ass cops, all they want to do is kick in somebody's door and kill them, period. Okay, so this elderly couple, they had unknowingly been under surveillance for months by Fort Worth Undercover Task Force and told the judge, anyway, got a no-knock warrant some kind of way. They lied, got a no-knock warrant, and went into this elderly couple's house. And this happened a little over a year ago. And kicked the door in. You know how they do. You know how they do. Said that they had that elderly couple sitting outside on their lawn for hours. Okay, while this is all happening, the elderly man has blood pressure and he starts having symptoms. His wife notices this. She's begging them to call an ambulance because his blood pressure medicine's in the house, or at least can you all get his medicine so he can take his medicine. They did none of the above. 53 days after this incident, that man died. And they interviewed his wife, and I felt so bad for her. They had been married like 50-something years. And just like she said, had they knocked and asked to come in, they could have came in and looked for whatever it was they thought they were going to find. And on the inventory sheet from that kick door, they found nothing. So I'm just really to a point with these racist ass white people, because here in Arlington, I have noticed since really the first of the year and during this election, on nice Sundays, there's a group of Caucasians that gather, and on last Sunday, me and my wife were riding through there, and I've been trying to make it a point just to ride through there every Sunday just to see if they're still congregating. And this Sunday, they weren't there. This first Sunday that they were not there in a while. But last Sunday, rode through there, and there they were, gathered as usual. But I noticed something different. There were three or four people armed with ARs over there. So this bothers me because this is where I reside, for one, and I don't trust them. And if they are gathering in that type of fashion, I would like to know what the fuck's going on, and especially now that they are gathering and people are arming themselves at these gatherings. And I was telling my wife that that couldn't be a group of five brothers unarmed doing what they're doing without Arlington PD being all in the midst of it. See, and I'm saying all that to say this. It's time for us to take some damn action. I'm wondering how many more of these shows I'm going to do, because I'm really just to a point where I'm pissed. I wake up upset. I go to bed upset. You can't get away from this nonsensical violence that keeps plaguing our people. I'm tired of watching us die, period. I'm tired of watching these racist kill us. I'm tired of watching these pigs kill us. I'm tired of watching us kill us. I'm just tired of the bullshit. I'm tired of wrongdoing, period, on all levels. I mean, how damn hard is it to do the right thing? Some of us act as if doing the right thing is a sin, and doing the wrong thing is righteous. And I'm tired of these people who act like they can't passion. I'm tired of these people who keep saying it ain't that bad. I'm tired of these motherfuckers telling us to get over it. See, it's easy to say get over something when it's not happening to you. Now, the minute something happens, the minute they ask to put on a damn mask, something that, I mean, you know, something really that's common sense in these conditions that we are in. But they feel like their rights are being violated. I get sick of seeing them videos where I saw one white lady get arrested, and I was so happy. My spirit was full of joy watching them take her privileged white ass to jail. I'm sick of these privileged ass white folks, period. I don't hate anybody, but I hate racists. I despise racists. You know, like I say, I'm just to a point where I'm ready to be more hands-on. I'm ready to put my boots in the street. I'm ready to stare my enemy eye to eye and show him that I'm not afraid, because I'm not. I mean, death comes to us all. Like I said, a couple of weeks ago, we born to die. The minute we born, we dying already. We just don't know it. Longevity is not promised to all of us. And I'm like this now. I'd rather die for something than to just keep going along to get along, than to just keep sitting idly by while all this bullshit continues to happen to us. I look at my grandkids, and I don't want my grandkids to go through this right here, what we dealing with now. We need to get on this shit, fix this shit, period. We hold the key. The key is our unity. The key is our coming together, staying together, working together. God damn it. Working together, yeah, that's what I said, which a lot of us don't comprehend. But until we do that, we'll keep seeing hashtags, we'll keep watching these injustices, these lynchings, because that's all they are, is modern-day lynchings, period. And like I say, for this atmosphere to exist, and you still have these pigs out here killing us? Okay, they're pretty much saying, fuck you niggas. Just going to keep it real. That's what they saying. This Amber Geiger situation, she's already going to be, her lawyers arguing her appeal tomorrow. So Dallas County is saying, fuck both them, John. And I can't keep swallowing that same goddamn pill over and over and over again. And we have got to do something different. Like I say, the condition will not change until we change the condition. And it's enough of us who want the condition changed to make some shit happen. But we have got to link up. We've got to start having these, like I said a couple of weeks ago, we got to get back to the basics, back to the grassroots of this, and sit down and know what it is that we need and know what it is that we want. And we go after that shit, and we don't quit until we get it. We don't quit. And that's the thing about it. We give out before we get to where we're supposed to be going. And we cannot continue to give out. We cannot continue to give out. It's costing us too dearly. It's costing us in the most precious way. You cannot replace a lifetime. Those are two things. When they're gone, there's no going back. So I'm ready for us to bring our minds and bodies, like I say, and spirits together so we can save lives. So we can stop witnessing these Dante rights. So we can start, and the countless others. I'm not even going to try to get into naming. Because we all know. We all know. We've all saw. And this, it didn't just start when Obama was in office. It's been happening. Like I say, I can remember James Byrd. I can remember Latasha Harlan. I can remember vividly in the 80s. And those were high-profile cases. And just like in the case of Rodney King, who damn near had the fucking life beat out of him on videotape. And all of those punk-ass cops got off. See, there needs to be consequences for people's actions. When we as black people, we walk a real fine line. We are always trying to do what's right. We're always trying to do the right thing. We try to avoid the conflicts. And sometimes the conflicts need to happen, you understand? Sometimes the conflict is the solution to the problem. But in order to win in conflict, we have to be prepared, organized, on code. We have to work as one, a unit. And it takes, like I say, all of us. All of us. No one person is bigger than any other person in this fight. We're all equal. And we all need and want the same things. We want justice. We cry and beg and plead for justice. See, sometimes you have to make your own justice. You have to make your justice. There's a movie that came out years ago called The Drop Squad. And The Drop Squad was a group that levied correction. And see, if everybody knew that they would suffer consequence for what their actions, for their actions. Well, some people wouldn't be so quick to, I think that cops wouldn't be so quick to pull a gun if they knew there was going to be consequence. And see, sometimes, like I told my mom, I said, well, she said she was, you know, my mom, my stepdad's a preacher. She's, you know, into the church real strong. And she was like, yeah, God is going to fix it all. And I said, no, see, that's the problem. We sitting back waiting when, in all reality, we've prayed enough. We've marched enough. It's, you know, prayer without works is nothing. It don't do nothing. It's just like you need a job, but you ain't getting your ass on your computer filling out application, but you looking for a job. But you sitting at home playing PlayStation all day. Or you sitting at home kicking it with your homies all day. Now, how you going to find a job if you're smoking and drinking and kicking it all day? You're not. See, now, we got to, in order for us to find peace, we got to look for that shit. And then we got to work towards that peace. And that is going to require sacrifice. And like I say, we need to give these punk-ass cops something to think about. I was telling my wife just a while ago, if Amber Geiger get free, somebody need to go see her. If Derek Chauvin get probation, somebody need to go see him. All these punk-ass cops that were let free should be paid a visit. We need to be more organized and keep the pressure on their asses to do what's right. And like I say, I feel like this Chauvin is a scapegoat. He's going to be their guinea pig. And then they knew they better not have let that boy go because they'd have set Minnesota on damn fire. They'd have burnt that city down. So they had to make a choice. They had to make a choice, and the right choice. But yet and still, like I'm really not that impressed. I'm really not that enthusiastic about it because we've seen this scenario over and over and over again, and it never changes. And then we'll see another situation, and another, and another. We'll march and protest about it, but we won't stay together. And that's what's causing our demise. As soon as we congregate together, those of us who are like-minded individuals and stand together, that's all it's going to take. That is all it's going to take. Pay attention to some of the victories that we are getting and understand that those victories are coming through people who are united, people who are on code, people who have their wants and their agenda ready. And that's what we've got to do collectively. Because like I say, you know, I said this last week, they skip over reparations. But if you Google who this country has paid reparations to, everyone has been paid reparations except us. You know, we're always the last, and we've got to change that. And then, too, like I say, we can do that by simply working together. And we don't have to keep begging this fucking system for what we deserve. We can provide that for ourselves. And not only that, provide that for our children. And give them some sense of hope, some sense of seeing it done and knowing that it can be done. thing. You know, this generation, they're hands-on. They want to see it. They don't want to just hear it. And like I say, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be doing shows. I'm just to a point mentally where I'm ready to be in the thick of things. I'm ready to get out and about here in this Dallas-Fort Worth area and let my presence be known. And also at the same time, networking with like-minded brothers, because like I say, we have got to build networks. We've got to build for our safety, if nothing else. And like I say, I'm all for the new segregation, which is their gentrification that they're on now. I'm all for that because we need to be separated, and we need to know that we can build and stop listening to the naysayers, because sometimes we don't reach our dreams because we listen to what other people say about us. And I'll just say this, nobody here is more superior than the black man and the black woman. And I'm just going to say that, and I don't care who don't like it. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. So I'm really, like I say, just kind of talking about these cops, what we need to do. I mean, let's talk real solutions to this problem. I mean, yeah, city council meetings and all that. Yeah, we got to know what's going on. But also, y'all, we got to be more hands-on with these cops, too, because they ain't nothing but a man or a woman with a badge and a gun. That's it. They're no better than us. They're no more human than us. A lot of them have no morals, no values. We see it every day. We see it every day. So, like I say, let's get off into this quick break, and I'm ready to open the mics up. If anybody is listening online, I really appreciate you all listening and calling in, listening online. If you are listening and the caller and would like to get in the conversation after this break, just press that 1 and I will see you light up, and I'll graciously open up your microphone. Those who are listening online and would like to call in and be a part of the conversation, you can call in at 914-205-5538. This is the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Do you feel that your message, apparent message of love that you brought back from Islam is the real reason they're after you, because you're not hating us hard as they want you to?
Well, I never did hate anybody hard, but I do know that when I wrote that letter saying that there were white people in Mecca, it shook up a lot of Muslims, because most of the Muslims who follow Mr. Muhammad absolutely believed that it was impossible, physically impossible, I should say divinely impossible, for a white person to go to Mecca. And my trip there shattered that image or that misconcept.
Anyone call you directly, Malcolm?
I've been receiving calls ever since I left the Black Muslim Movement.
And what sort of calls, Malcolm? You're disenchanted and deal with the fact that these men who were your brothers are making threats against your life?
No, because actually it's not their fault. Most of them, now Joseph and the officials, they have a knowledge of what it's all about. But the rank-and-file Muslim brother does not know what it's all about. They are out of religious sincerity. They think that they are doing the will of Allah by protecting a man who I myself taught them was divine. So I don't in any way fault them. But those who are over them and give the orders, and actually the ultimate order comes from Elijah Muhammad himself. As long as I represented the Black Muslim movement as an example of morality, unity, and militancy, as long as I could do that, I represented it. It was when I realized that it could not be represented as that, that I came on and started working among the non-Muslim Negroes, as I announced in January, and I had no intention, or rather March, and I had no intention of ever even speaking on this. Had they left me alone, you still wouldn't know what really took place.
Why are they threatening your life?
Well, primarily because they're afraid that I will tell the real reason that they've been, that I'm out of the black Muslim movement, which I never told. I kept to myself. But the real reason is that Elijah Muhammad, the head of the movement, is the father of 8 children by 6 different teenage girls, 6 different teenage girls who were his private personal secretary. The one who first made me aware of this was Wallace Muhammad, Mr. Muhammad's son. And I had stated in a newspaper article about an effort to take my life back in January, and at that time the Muslims denied it. In fact, they tried to make it appear to my brother that I was insane. But on a program in Chicago called Hotline, that's moderated by Wesley South, John Ali, the national secretary, admitted, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, one of these days last week, that they absolutely were going to kill me.
What steps will you take to protect yourself from this threat?
I take no steps. I have a rifle. If anybody comes to my house without a good reason, I intend to try and use it. And that's all.
Right now?
No, I don't worry. I tell you.
Oh, yeah. You've gone and did it. What's the word? No more questioning my pedigree, my authenticity, by some radio call letters. What's the word? No more questioning the polish that plays upon my boots. What's the word? STP. Zoom, zoom, zoom before I step.
1 o'clock to 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock to 4. Murder in progress and time to settle score. 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock and 7 come to 8. When it's time to reach the 9, man, it's time to get straight. Now 10 come 11, tick-tock on to 12. Head to toe in black and you know I'm not for self. Time for a little dose of FTP. You know what, brother's speaking, man, fuck the police. Now FTP,
fuck the police.
FTP,
yeah, fuck the police.
FTP, yo, man, never upon the job. Always eating donuts, man, fuck the Bobby Lawn. Cause we the people that are strong and able. Remember, you step onto Gavin Cato, Eleanor Bumpus, Stephen Biko, Huey P. Murderers of Malcolm and death of Brother King. Government's producing that white kryptonite, making sun drinkers into zombies of the night. So now I walk the streets, more or less discreet, cause the one that take me under might sing the same beat. But how many brothers must a brother see? Shot in the street by this honorable defeat, by a silver badge Trump uniform like a red coat. I might just catch a flashback and tighten up your collar. Don't scream or whip, I won't help you if you holler. No dollars can compensate or make me hesitate. It's freedom or death, boy, you know I won't pass. Operation Snatchback stands my epitaph. Now would I ever provoke a coke that won't or don't put a cloak on the choke? Nope. Cause every time I speak wise, you call me civil. Speaking like a madman and then you call me Batman. That's why I rip, fish, shred, and act fool. Take care of my people for the Armageddon duel. Because it's murder, more death, and most are never even tried. Make me indefensive while you're searching through my ride. Sworn to protect, but designed to harass. Switch without a warrant, your fingers in my ass. And then you ask me co-spreading with my face in your streets, and I say FTP. Cause if I ever submit to one of your tricks, I might get a nightstick lick. And since I stand protected, yo, that seems to be a no-no. Let me introduce warfare as a Bobo. Cause I've grown quite weary of the insults, slander on the misquote. Now children think that we're a cult. That's why my attitude is firm as it can be. Shouting loud and proud, man, fuck the police. Now FTP,
fuck the police.
Yeah, FTP,
yeah, fuck the police.
Come on, FTP, yo, don't take me light. The house of the cracker goes boom tonight on sight.
The 5 o'clock news, the 6 o'clock news, the 7 o'clock news, I say FTP.
All right, welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. I've been talking about these punk-ass cops. I don't know. I was just sitting here thinking as that song was playing. And it is time for us to man up And I mean, I'm talking to my brothers now. It's time for us to man up, because no civilization, no civilization thrives without the male backbone, without the male muscle, period. The man is the lead. And brothers, we need to take the lead and do what comes with leading, protecting, providing, all of that. Like I said a couple of weeks back, we need to get on the front line right now and put our women and children and elderly behind us, let them know that they are safe. And it's time that we check these systems, internal and external, because not all internal things working for us are working for us, Black Lives Matter. Not all internal things that are working for us are working for us, NFAC, NAACP, all these rich athletes, the Boule, as they are called. They're not on our level. Some people do things for attention. And a lot of what's going on right now, people are doing for attention and money. Black Lives Matter. And I'm glad they're being called out, so that we know. And I can just imagine how many of us gave money to that movement, 90 million strong. And what are they doing for these families that they're supposedly representing? Not much. So we've got to be very careful. And anything that we start doing, and that's why I say we have got to be the ones to start our own movement, like-minded brothers and sisters. And we've got to vet hard. We've got to vet real hard, because not everybody that looks like us is for us. I think we all know that by now. Kamala Harris. They'll claim black when it is necessary or beneficial. But don't nobody, like Paul Mooney said, everybody want to be a nigga till it's time to be a nigga. And when I heard him say that, it was funny, but once I said it back, I was like, wow, that's profound. Because nobody wants to be us, but everybody wants to be us when things are good. But don't nobody want to be us in the situation that we're in now. We're dying out here, y'all, and this is for real. And I mean, honestly, what are we going to do? Are we going to just continue to watch? I'm just to a point where I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to walk without going over the damn edge, honestly. It's like any day I could snap. It's just to a point where I don't feel safe. I don't feel comfortable around them, period. And it's not up to us to correct them. It's up to them to correct them, but we can aid in that correction. Kind of in my feelings. And I'm not trying to come across as dry or prejudiced, but I'm just tired of seeing the same old thing, the same story over and over and over again. And at 51 years old, I have heard this story numerous times, and they all play out the same. unfortunately, we have yet to master ourselves in order to master condition. Because we can change it. Like I say, it's a simple fix. Very simple. All we got to do is start working together, showing concern for one another, stop giving everyone else the benefit of the doubt, and do that for one another, for each other, for a change. I mean, there's so many things that need to be put into this pot, but how many people are willing to bring some ingredients, and not all of us, not enough of us are willing to contribute the correct ingredients in order for us to cook this gumbo that can, the gumbo of freedom. Because like I always say, you know, don't ever feel like you don't have anything to contribute, because that little bit you contribute might just be what was needed. We can't keep selling ourselves short. We need each other, and we dying out here. I mean, I'm just tired of watching it. The same story over and over. Time just keeps repeating itself and repeating itself. And we know we're dealing with these damn devils. Ain't nothing going to change about them. Nothing. And just like I told my wife, you watch and see as the calendar keeps moving forward how much more in character these people are going to behave. And we're seeing that. See, a devil can't be nothing but a devil. That's all a devil can be. A devil. A no good, do nothing, murderous, thieving, conniving, jiving, raping, pillaging, devil. And who am I describing? Damn, who does that fit? Who stuck with the label, but who does it actually describe? And then we have this system that was put together by devils. And that's why we should distance ourselves as far as possible. We should, like, I'm just really to a point where separation is the answer. Nobody can coexist with these devils, period. And it's time to deal with the devil. I'm going to say this, and somebody going to understand, because everybody, yeah, God love. No, God don't love everything. So let's get that straight. Because he don't give a damn about none of this evil, none of these devils. And then that's why I say that everything here on this earth is tainted. It belongs to the devil. It belongs to Satan and his minions. All right, I see I got a comment. Somebody wants to chime in. I'm going to open up your line, 8680. I think I know who this is. Welcome, 8680. Your mic is open.
Hey, Brother Melvin, how you doing? This is Brother Isaac.
I'm good.
I wonder,
how you doing, brother?
I'm good, brother. I wanted to real quick thank you for adding me as an admin to the Panther page. I feel honored to be there, and I appreciate you adding me.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, man, it just... This past month, you know, I think that, you know, we have to stop asking why, because, you know, we are at war, you know, and a lot of us don't know that, or a lot of us don't want to accept that, the fact that we are at war with this system and with these people. And this April is their holy month. They consider it their holy month. Because that's, you know, 420 was Hitler's birthday. And while Negroes, was out here getting high on weed, you know, they're celebrating their hero's birthday. And the best way to celebrate their hero's birthday is by killing us, you know, a lot of people don't look into it, but if you can imagine between, I'll say, the end of March and excuse me, today's date, there have been 30 shootings by police. All black people. My theory is that the people that they let go on January the 6th, a lot of them were cops. I want people to remember that. So they let all these people go. They've only rounded up 300 people, and y'all saw how many people was at the Capitol on January the 6th. These people were allowed to go home and to their little, you know, corner of the woods or under whatever rock they had crawled out from under. And, you know, now they're back in uniform, back on the forces. So they're looking for a get back because they've been taking L's. They've been taking a few L's lately with Derek Chauvin and some of these other cops. So my thing is, when they found Chauvin guilty, I didn't celebrate. I was like, okay, that's one battle, but we're in a war. And people have to start looking at this thing like a war. You know, it was one battle that we won. But people like George Zimmerman are still out here roaming the streets. You know, Walter Scott's a killer, still roaming the streets. Freddie Gray's killers, all of them got let off. All six of them. So my thing is that, you know, I get your anger, brother, you know, and I get your frustration. I get all of that. You know, the young lady that, you know, that died in Columbus, Ohio, Makai Bryant. I'm really disappointed at my people over that one, because they're coming out, you know, taking up for the cop. And I'm like, you know, it's confusing to me, because my thing is like, number one, that's off code for me, period. That's off code. I'm never going to, you can put that in all caps. I'm never going to back the blue. Never. They are the enemy. Straight up, they the enemy. And I don't get why people keep calling them instead of recognizing that the dysfunction that goes on in our society, that's something that needs to be handled by us. The young man that got shot down in Virginia, after he got a ride from the deputy, and the deputy turned around and came back and shot him.
Right.
Stemming from domestic, you know, a domestic situation going on in his house. He gets frustrated with his brother or whatever, and he's walking down the street with a phone. The same cop that gave him a ride to his home was the one that took his life. Well, let me reset that, because I believe the brother's still in the hospital, but he's fighting for his life. Same deal. You know, I believe the brother was a gay man, I believe. From the pictures that they show of him, he looks like, you know, he's not straight, you know. So, but yeah. My thing is that doesn't have anything to do with it. I'm accepting him as a person that looks like me. I'm calling him a brother. And my whole thing is that, from what I've read, they said that he had a concealed carry permit. So he may have had a gun with him. From what their reports are saying, he was walking down the street and he had the gun to his head like he was going to kill himself. That's in one report. The other report says that all he had was the house phone in his hand. If he was talking to 911, you know, when the shots were fired at him. So,
yes,
you know, here
I
we
read.
Go again with the, I thought he had a gun. And I'm like, you know, all I can do is scratch my head. Because you got some black folks out here saying, well, he shouldn't have been doing this. He shouldn't have been doing that. You have black people saying, well, the girl should have dropped the knife. My thing is that the poor 16-year-old girl, she didn't even know the cops had rolled up. He shot her in the back.
Yeah.
And he didn't identify himself. That's what's killing me.
Yeah.
You walk up on somebody's back, there's a knife involved in the situation, but she's not even looking at you. And you're gonna put four in her back? That's a coward to me. Plus this pig only been on the force since 2019. And from what I hear, this is his second body. And some of my people saying that it was a clean shoot. When this guy was a military marksman, so he's probably got more bodies than that on him. I'm like, this killer needs to be off the force. That's what needs to happen. But as long as you got our people basically back in the blue, we're not going to get nowhere. And I'm really ashamed of some people that are backing this cop, saying it was a clean shoot without knowing the full story of how that situation got to where it got. And it all leads back to the dysfunction in our community. It all leads back to...
Yeah, because when I saw the video, I'm thinking to myself, like, is... Like you say, he didn't announce himself for one. He had no time to even assess the situation for two. And then, like you say, yeah, he shot her in the back four times. And then not only that, female who was laying up against the car who she was about to stab was also in jeopardy. He could have easily shot her, you know. So, like I say, you know, I don't justify his actions. I'm tired of seeing the bullshit, you know. And yeah, from what I've been hearing too, I don't like the fact that they're saying it was a clean shoot and she was wielding a knife and like I say, I've saw so many videos where, you know, white men are wielding knives. And like I say, I saw a video the other day where this white guy jumped in a police car and drove the hell off, you know, and what black man or brown man would have had that opportunity? Because once the cop tells us to get down and we don't get down, they put us down, you know. So it's just the whole situation with I'm just not satisfied with the George Chauvin. It doesn't impress me. Like I say, I think that's just really kibbles to keep us satisfied, you know, and to keep us, to make us feel as if, oh, there may be a change coming, maybe this, maybe that. But no, don't be fooled by the smoke and mirrors, you know, and that's the problem. A lot of the time we become content and complacent with one victory. That's just one victory out of hundreds, you know. So, like I say, it's just, yeah, definitely time that we stop calling the police, because the police are not here to help us. Remember, the police were founded slave catchers. That was their original job, to go fetch masses' property. And if you ask me, in 2021, we're still seeing same scenario play out.
That's how I look at them. That's how I look at them still.
Yeah.
I still look at them that way, as slave catchers. My thing is that with these cops or these pigs, as you know, our ancestors used to call them, you know, and I still call them pigs, you know, their mentality is basically to shoot to kill once they pull their gun. And I need my people to understand that. You know, once that gun comes out the holster, and they start pulling that trigger, they're shooting to kill. You know, they don't shoot to wound. And this guy was an expert marksman. There's a lot of things that he could have done, but he was known to have anger issues when he was in school. So he's one of those punks that grew up and became a cop. You know, so, you know, that on top of him, you know, having just a bad attitude toward black folks, it didn't match at all. You know, I'm not going to say what he could have done. I know what he had time to do. You know, he had time to approach the situation with a taser at least. You know, going back to the girl in pink, I hate to say it, but I could care less about it. Because Melvin, Brother Melvin, what are you going to do if, you know, two guys come to your house, you're 16 years old, and some guys come to your house, grown men come to your house trying to fight you? I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to try to defend yourself.
Yep.
And that's what the girl was doing. She was defending herself. She had fought these grown women that was trying to attack her, and fell on the ground, got the knife away from one of them. That's whose knife she had. She had their knife. But see, none of that has come out in the wash. I'm finding this about speaking to people that were from their neighborhood.
Right.
Family members that knew the situation was going on, that, you know, her foster mother or whatever put these grown women up to coming to the house and whooping her ass. That's why I'm talking about the dysfunction in our society, where we end up putting ourselves in situations where somebody ends up getting killed.
Yep.
They keep saying she called
the
police. She didn't. Her little sister called the police. She was outside fighting with the girls when the call was made to the police. But nobody hears that. That's why I'm like, when people say, "Oh, it was a clean," a 16-year-old girl is dead. I got daughters, man. And, you know, they weren't raised to be out here, you know, thought fighting like that. But my thing is that I taught them, if you guys defend yourself, you got to do what you got to do.
Right.
And you make sure that other person is not getting up. When you put somebody down, you put them down for good.
Yeah, we definitely have got to get.
But I raised them to be ladies, though. Between me and their mothers, I can't take all the credit for that. And the family that I surrounded with and the people I surrounded with them with taught them how to respect themselves. I was like, don't no grown-ass person got any business going to where a child lives to whoop their ass, and you're not their parent. And I haven't heard of no charges. And I feel like every adult in that situation needs to be arrested. Every adult in that situation, including the cop, including the father. Because I'm like, dude, how are you going to be kicking at the woman on the ground and let this cop walk past you with a gun pointing at your daughter? So I'm questioning everything. I get it. He was trying to protect his daughter at the time. But my thing is that when the cop showed up, that elevated things. That escalated things. And my thing is that my attention would have been on that cop and trying to explain to him what the hell was going on. So the lady in pink that went to that house to beat up that young girl, she got the smoke she was looking for. And like you said, she's lucky she didn't get hit with a bullet. I guess that goes to the cop had been a marksman. He knew where to put them bullets at. But he went there expecting to kill somebody, as far as I'm concerned. And nobody's going to convince me otherwise. Because if it had been Becky out there fighting, she'd still be alive today. I can guarantee that. And on that, I yield. But yeah, brother, I'll just come back with this another thing. I would say that I see things changing because I see now that we're getting addresses. This is something I have been advocating back since I'm gonna say 2014, 2015. You know, when there was a shooting, a lot of times, you know, I myself would go find the address of this cop or this person and put it out there on the internet. And, you know, we calling it pull-up season. It's
right.
Pull-up season now. So people are starting to go to people's houses now because we're not getting no results, you know, fast enough. That's why they had to barricade
right.
That lady's house who shot the Dante Wright. They put up a whole barricade because
yeah.
they knew the people was going to show up and show out. So my thing is that we have to let these cops know that they can be touched too. Just like the military dude that put his hands on the young guy that was walking through his neighborhood. South Carolina showed up and showed out. Oh, you don't want black people in your neighborhood? To the point where he had to run and hide. And they might have put their house up for sale by now.
It's possible. It's possible.
I'm telling
but we
you,
need
brother,
a
people,
lot. I
people
think...
out here are just as frustrated as you are. And it's like it's not happening. It's not happening for them like that no more. We have to get to a point where we make these cops think twice before you pull that trigger of what your life is going to be like afterward.
No doubt, and it's up to us to change the damn condition. I got another caller.
Go ahead, brother.
They've been waiting patiently. Oh yeah, stay on the line. I'm gonna leave your mic open, brother. 5396. Right. You got the floor.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
Peace. How you doing,
can you
sister?
Good. How you doing? I've been in and out of the call. I end up having a conference call come in. So I kind of skipping and missing pieces of what's all been going on. But, I caught you talking about the Floyd case, and I was thinking you turned into a pastor for a minute on there because I swear that's how I felt about it when they hit us with the old guilty verdict and everybody got all excited. I'm like, oh, what?
Like a guilty verdict,
that doesn't equate to justice. That just means finally somebody's being held accountable for their action. So I get excited when I see he get that, I think I call it that 6 feet of life, when he get that Mississippi dope boy sentence, and that Mississippi 19 in the 1990s, he get caught with a 20 piece of rock, you getting that 6 feet of life. When he get one of them, then I get excited, you know? But, it's crazy. I said, but we've been fooled for so long that we have no idea what justice is because we've been deprived of it for so long. We'll take anything and call it justice, you know? I see so many people on social media making posts saying, oh, justice has been served. No, it has not.
No, not at all. And see, and then in the midst of all of that, sister, I don't know if you heard me, but Amber Geiger's lawyer is arguing her appeal for the murder of both of John on tomorrow. Do you hear me?
No.
She's only been in jail for about a year and a half. She's only been in jail for about a year and a half.
And you know, I
heard it about three.
You know that was in making already. You know, right when she got sentenced, the lawyer told her, "Don't worry, in a year we'll get you out of here."
They started working on the appeal about 3 or 4 months around the first of the year, and I just happened to be sitting around this weekend, and I said, "Let me see what's going on with this appeal." And sure as I Googled it, I'm like reading, and it says her lawyer will be arguing her appeal on April 27th. And I'm like, what the fuck? April 27th? That's like next Tuesday. I'm like, what the heck? So this is why I really kind of wanted to talk about this, because, like I say, in the midst of this George Floyd, you know, guilty verdict, are we really going to get justice with it? You know, and then my thing is, like, these cops don't have no remorse, no fucking values, no morals.
No.
They kill us, and then they want to be let loose for killing us. They don't. Where is their sense of fucking guilt? You know, they don't have that.
Any.
They don't, you know. And that's what,
They don't feel like they're offending. They don't feel like they're harming. They don't feel like they're taking the life of another human when it comes to us. They still, in 2021, don't feel like, look at us and have sympathy of, oh, this is another human being. I shouldn't do this. They could tell us. They don't see that. And that's why they don't value us as human beings. There will be no remorse for what they do.
That's a point, and it just burns my ass, because when I'm reading this article and I'm like, all I could see, and this may sound crazy, but all I could see was that boy hugging her. And I was like, damn fool. You know, and now here she is fighting to get out of jail for murdering him. And they so quick to forgive. Now, I give his mother, Ms. Allison John, Queen Mother Allison John, I give her credit, because she's not wavering, period. You know, and I can appreciate her stance and her conviction, you know, because they messed over them all the way around. They threw the civil case out. They're not even able to get monetary compensation. Yeah, they threw the civil case out a few months after the trial ended. Sure did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now,
on tomorrow,
here in Dallas County.
Left and right.
Yeah. Yep. And they haven't even, they were speaking about a Tatiana Jefferson. They haven't even begin the process of scheduling her trial, the trial for her, that killer cop that murdered her. They haven't begun the process here in Tarrant County for that. So that's bull. You know, like I say, I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed with the George Floyd conviction.
Not at all.
That's just,
I was just like, okay, yeah. And okay, I'm waiting on the sentencing. What is he going to get, a year with 364 days suspended? I mean, that's my prediction.
Right.
That's my prediction of it. Like, I'm not impressed. I wasn't happy. I get every milestone, because every march, every sit-in that Martin Luther King did was needed. It helped us get to where we are today. I don't appreciate the small steps, but we've been taking small steps for hundreds of years, and I'm kind of over the small steps. You know what I mean? It's just like, no. It was no way around. No. And then that's why, although brother made a lot of sense, I just clicked in. He was making a lot of sense. I was feeling a lot of what he said, but that still leaves me on the fence about a lot of situations that we have, such as with that baby. You know what I mean? I was listening to him say how he was saying, you know, we have people that back the blue. Let me tell you something. I look at it like this. Every great leader we had was betrayed by somebody that looked like him. I can't. Everything that looked like me is not for me. So everything that looked like me ain't right. Everything that don't look like me ain't wrong. I get so offended by certain situations because situations where I know in my knowing these folks are dead wrong. I know it. They know it. The blind know it. A dead man knows these people are dead wrong and are getting off, are getting minimal punishment, getting slapped on their wrist. And then we put situations up that leaves questionable doubt to give these people just the tiny amount of leeway to be like, well, hey, this could have been justified. And it burns me up still. I think we've had this discussion before. I am so passionate about that. It makes me so mad. But that's a whole nother situation all up in air. Like I said, I don't know. You have so much going on with that. I hate it. You know what I mean? That's the whole instance of it. It was insanity. But from my understanding, it was other teen that the other girls were teenagers too. But I don't know. I don't know what the fight was about, what not. All I know is if the girl in the pink was a teenager as well.
One of the girls was 22. The other one was 28 years old. And both of them had lived at that foster house at one point in time. And I think that's why the foster mother basically tried to call them to come get the 16-year-old straight.
So, which makes me wonder what was going on to the point that she felt like she got to call anybody.
Mikhail asked that, you know, was asked to clean up the house, and she refused to or whatever. And, you know, next thing you know, she on the phone talking to these other girls that had been fostered there at that home. She called them up, and they came over 3 days in a row. They had to call the police. They're not telling everybody this. 3 days in a row.
So all that over not cleaning up a room. All this over not. Let's say
right.
It's more to the story than that.
Right.
I'm not going for that. I'm not going for none of that. All this over cleaning up a room
It was probably.
And secondly,
more than
with
that,
her dad, where was her
remember,
dad? Why was she there?
That's the question.
Why wasn't she her mom? On TV or whatever, saying what a good kid she was. Why was she there, and not in the comfort home? But what happened? You know, like you said, like you were saying about our community, how we do have to do better.
Yeah.
We definitely do. That is definitely our problem.
Right.
I sit on this radio and go back and forth with my brothers and sisters all day about my beliefs for our community. But we'll cuss A, and Lord forgive me because I try not to be totally biased because, like I said, everything looks like me. Ain't good, and everything that don't look like me ain't bad, but that's like me getting into a fight with my sister in my house versus going out in the street and fighting abroad in the street. You will not enter, you will not step foot in here and think you're going to have nothing. Let us handle this, you know? So that's why that situation has rubbed me the wrong way in so many ways, because if that's the case, if her parents were easily contacted like that, why not call her parents? If she has to be there, who knows? Something could have went on in court, maybe someone right in the house, or they removed her. The whole situation is just really disturbing to me because at that point I look at it, because I'm not a mother, but even if I have children, I have 17 nieces and nephews, I have children I have raised from the time I was a teenager myself. Stop calling me. But, and I look at this also, 2020, to me them are still children as well. So I look at it this way, even in that situation, once that knife hit the ground, if this was my daughter in the pink too, child or no child, I probably would have been all for you getting capped if I see this, you inches from sticking my daughter, and this is not even a person who had the knife, and from what I've seen on the video, she was off to the side. The police, she was the first person to approach the police, and all the commotion broke loose, and then the girl fell, daddy kicked, the knife fell, baby girl picked up the knife and charged the girl in the pink. So this could have played out differently. You said it's been going on for 3 days. Who knows what? Like you said, who knows what all really happened? But either way, it was going to end tragic for somebody. You know what I mean? And I hate that it happened like that.
Right.
And it looks like even if it was baby in the pink, she wasn't even the one who had the knife. there was a girl on the ground, so then she would end up jugged for no reason. And then Michaela, or what, the baby still would have got shot, so you would have had two dead bodies possibly laying there. It's just a big mess, period. So at this point, I don't know. Like I said, I'm just pretty much over us as a whole. You know, I commend, there are so many families I see trying. It's so hard. In my city right now, in less than a week, we have had two shootings. Of course, young kids, I call them kids, but nobody over 25. Just 2 days ago, a 16-year-old boy shot three people in a drive-by. Okay? I know all the families.
I don't.
One victim.
I don't know. I don't know how many people Brother Melvin has on the line, but I can guarantee you that wherever we're from, everybody could say that there was a shooting in their vicinity, you know, this week. You know, we had an 18-year-old pregnant girl was shot here in D.C. Over the weekend, and they caught her killers. All three of them was basically teenagers. The boy killed the girl. The boy's brother, who is the baby father to the girl that was pregnant, he killed the girl. Just pulled out a gun and just shot her really nonchalant-like. And I'm like, I'm scratching my head, and I'm like, I mean, just a waste of life. Because now you got one girl dead. The baby was okay. They took the baby. The baby's okay. But my thing is, as a father, or I can't even call dude a father, because a father wouldn't let that happen to his pregnant woman. But my thing is, as a sperm donor, how you going to explain that to your baby one day?
You're going to be in prison for the rest of your life. And that's what pisses me
off. Basically.
You're going to get life behind that. But it's okay for somebody else to kill our children and walk away scot-free. Do a year in prison. Get probation. So it's just, like you said, it's a system thing, and we call it a broken system. But theoretically, realistically, it's never broken, because it was never meant for us. So I guess until we find a way to overthrow, that's the only term I can think of. There is no fixing this system. Because from what they said, it's not broken. It was created. It was designed to do just what it's doing. It's not broken. It just needs to be overthrown. It's not meant for us. Start over from scratch. So until we can find a way to overthrow this system, we're going to constantly be going in a circle. And we will not see change until, you know what I mean? What pisses me off is sometimes I look at these babies, y'all so easily, you'll get scared as hell. You get terrified if you even think the police don't even be paying you no attention. You riding, you might be smoking your little weed. You get terrified as heck if a police even pass you up in the car. But you have no problem rolling up on somebody you grew up with, somebody you probably even played with, slept in the same bed with, stay the night with. You ain't got no problem putting a hole in their back. But these people come to your neighborhood and rope you up and handle you any kind of way, and it's all good. So I really think it just starts with reprogramming our youth mind. Like I said, I try to teach my nieces and nephews, you respect those who respect you, but you don't be no fool at no time for no man. Human, when I say man, you know what I mean? I try so hard to instill love for our people in them. But at the same time, I don't want you to be so foolish to where you fall victim to somebody who look like you simply by being gullible and trying to be too loving and trusting.
Right.
It's hard.
Right.
It's like you in a lose-lose situation, because you want to so hard love your people, but you have so many of them that don't know nothing but get over, get out, cheat, steal. You know what I mean? And it's not that they don't. Try to expose them to more, but they don't want to accept it. And then that's when I don't know. You get to the point to where you trying to figure out, okay, why? You talking to these kids, man, they don't want to hear none of that. They feel like, you know, my city is small. Y'all are probably in big cities, so when I say my city is small, I can cover this whole city in 20-25 minutes. So for us to have shootings like that is just really uncalled for. Like I said, you know, it's like I'm watching generations. I knew your parents. You know what I mean? I watched them grow up, and this is just history repeating itself. You know, it's the same thing I'm seeing. I'm watching what I saw them do back in the day. And I'm not going to point the finger, because I was out there doing me too. But along the way, I picked up and learned. You know what I mean? Okay, well, I don't like this path, so I'm going to go ahead and take this way. And it's like somewhere my generation messed up because a lot of these kids ain't getting it. It's like they only see one way, and that's the only way they want to go. I don't care how bad it is. I don't like one of the boys that got shot and killed last week. Okay, I feel horrible for his mother, who was one of my schoolmates, because she just buried one of her sons a couple years ago, gun violence. And instead of you seeing this and being like, man, you know, you see how this hurt your mama. You see what she went through. You lost your brother. Instead of you looking at this like, man, I don't want this. I'm going to do this. You determined to push harder and harder to take that path, and now you gone.
Yeah. These priests don't love you.
That, you know, I lost a son to gun violence. So I relate parents who have lost. I also can say where my fault may have lied, because we can't just point the finger of blame at the child. We as the adults have to bear some of that responsibility. And granted, I do agree, it's hard to reach these kids nowadays. I've got a daughter, and it's hard to reach her. And she's mine. She's 21. Going through those growing pains and all that stuff, being a man, my thing is I'm connected with all my kids, pretty much. And I'm always open. It's different, though, when I'm talking to my sons as opposed to when I'm talking to her or my daughters or any of the girls. Because my wife, she has two daughters. So my youngest is 13. My youngest, he's 13. So I try to stay in the loop with them, and it's hard to do. It honestly is hard to do, but, you know, I do the best I can. And like you say, yeah, and that's the key, because they're our answer. Our youth are our answer. And like I said on last week's show, you know, we just got to give them a little direction. And I think, too, that more of our youth are willing to listen than we think. Are willing. I think some of our youth are hungry for some someone as an elder to come in and kind of show an interest, you know, because I can just go back to when I was a young boy, and, you know, I had men in my life, you know, and uncles and older cousins and stuff, so you know, you always have someone you can talk to, and that makes a difference. You know, a lot of times with these youth nowadays, they keep everything so boxed in. You know, they don't want to feel like they're out of place. You know what I mean? And these kids
they
nowadays,
they go for the anger too.
That, and then they bend over backwards for acceptance. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I say
yes,
you got to start getting involved with the children, not just the ones that are inside and under our care, but it's a young woman and a young man out there right now who would love to have a father figure, you know, who may not have one. And in most cases, in our, you know, communities is, you know, the mother raising the child alone. The father is not even contributing time. And as a man, there has been times I couldn't do financially, but my damn time was always free. So we got to get, like I say, we've got to sometimes check ourselves and get our priorities in order and straight. And then they see that, then they'll be inspired to get their priorities in order and straight. You know what I'm saying?
People be surprised that I work with the youth a lot. I used to, not as much that generation that I was working with so heavily. They're all in their late teens, early 20s now. So I just fell back from it. They all, you know, and I'm proud because they're a great bunch of kids, man. I'm just thankful. But people be so surprised. These are kids who parents bent over backwards. You want to make sure they got every pair of Jordan. Man, they will be so surprised. These kids ain't studied none of that. Like, you know what I mean? Of course they want to fit in, but, man, the most thing, like, the simplest stuff I used to do with these kids, like, stuff that their parents swear they wouldn't do. Like, look, basic stuff we used to do when we were young. Man, them kids had a time of their life. The simple stuff, just wanting somebody to just let them rant on and talk forever and just listen. You know, just let them. I say, it's simple stuff these kids were looking for. I said, now, here I have my family and friends breaking their neck. Spending every dime you got, putting yourself in debt, trying to make sure they have the what and what's now. And these kids half the time don't even be sitting there like talking about. They looking for something totally different. They'll take it now. Don't get it twisted. Man, they looking for so much more. That'll cost you so much
more. Right. Yep. And that's one thing that I've always said, you know, because the things that I remember the time that people took with me and spent with me. You know, you're not going to remember every little thing that people buy you, you know, but
right.
The things that people take time out to do with you, those are the things that are truly priceless, you know, because people only take time out with you when they are concern and when they love you, you know. And like I say, we got to get back to village mentality, back to how it was in the 70s when I was growing up, you know, where everybody knew everybody, everybody looked out for everybody, everybody helped everybody, you know. And we just don't,
right.
we've gotten far away from that, way far. And that's why these, like I say, back then, police killings happened. Don't get wrong, but they didn't happen like they're happening now. And if we were
right.
to jail together like our predecessors, those before us, if we were to get as unified as they were, this bullshit could be curbed before the end of the year. We could have them singing and marching a whole different way. You know, and that's my point. You know, we've got to get there with it, because I've said this millions of times, you know, blueprint after blueprint. Malcolm left us one, Martin left us one, Medgar left us one, Nat left us one, Fred left us one. We've got blueprint after blueprint after blueprint. They need revision, and that's where we got to get to work on, revising these things and making them making them to what we need done today. And not only that, staying together for the duration, not just staying together to get it started and then dropping off. That's why we never get anywhere, because we'll just start the ball rolling and shit, we just don't know. It's another hill coming up. That ball ain't going to roll up another
right.
hill if we ain't pushing it, you see? So, you know, that's where we fail, you know, ourselves, and not just us. And I, you know, because my 51-year-old ass, I'm not thinking about me anymore. I'm thinking about those that's behind
right.
me. You
right.
know? So that's I don't want them. I don't want them with my mentality. You know what I'm saying? I want them to be able to actually be free mentally, be free spiritually, be free. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's just a whole lot. I'm just passionate about that. You know, I love my people. I can't help it. I love them.
Yes, indeed.
So, you know, I mean, I'll sacrifice whatever I can and do whatever I can for the betterment of our people. I can remember my aunt asked me, because I've been like this. And when I was about 12 years old, my aunt asked me what I wanted, and I said, I want 100 people to think like I do. That way, if something happened to me, it's 99 more people to keep the ball rolling. You know, and that's what I, like I was saying a few weeks ago, we can keep rolling, or we can either create our own flow, our own current. Because, see, when we rolling, we just taking what they give us. And right now they handing out ass whoopings and nothing else. Murders. That's what they handing us. And we taking it. You know, we rolling with that. We not trying to create our own flow. We want this shit to stop, or do we want to keep this? Do we want this, to keep seeing this? I for one, don't. I'm ready to create a flow, and I'm ready to get some people. Like
honestly,
I said, you got a north and a south current. It's creating a whirlpool, and right now that's what we doing. Some are going north, some are going south. It's a whirlpool, and the only people get caught sucked up in the whirlpool is what created the whirlpool. And that's why we are failing right now, because we're creating our own whirlpool. We sucking our own selves in instead of creating a damn flow, Mississippi River flow from north to south. That's all I'm saying. And water, as in a liquid form, if it's all moving in one direction, it can cause a path through a mouth. So why not create a damn flow and stop rolling with shit? That's all I'm saying.
Easier said than done, I reckon.
Yeah,
it is.
Anyway.
Easier said than done.
There's so many of us. And it's so many
of
them. And
it's my thing. I don't even need nobody. I don't even need you to think like me. I just need you to be just as passionate about this thing as I am. All those crazy old folks that stormed that Capitol, they all got, look, they had one common mission. That's all we, I just want you to be honest. The one common mission is that you want a betterment for us. Even in the military, they're one system, but different branches. Everybody here for a different purpose. Everybody here to do a different job. As long as you ready, I don't care what, look, everybody have a different level of ready. Everybody have a different level of being prepared. Everybody have a different level of knowledge. If your mind is set on, I want better, come on. We can use you for something. We'll put you somewhere. As long as you want. If you one of them sitting over there saying, man, I don't care nothing about all that, ain't nothing going to change. When you stay over there. But if you look like, man, I'm sick of this, come on, let's go. I don't care if you don't know nothing. I don't care if you sit up here and I ask you, who is this? You pointed to a white man with blue eyes and you say he Jesus, but you want to change. Come on, let's go. We'll fix all that out later. Come on, let's go. I'm taking you with me. Because you want to do better. You want something different. Let's go. It's a matter of, and
like
that's what I look for when I'm talking, not just kids, I'm talking to people,
don't.
Period. Right, who don't want to help themselves. Some people don't know. I'm a little more patient and sympathetic with younger people than I am with grown folks. I have zero, y'all. I'm sorry. My tolerance with grown folks is off, and I shouldn't be that way because some people have had so much trauma in their life that they have just really, that's all they've experienced in life is trauma, so they really just feel hopeless. That's somebody else's mission in life to deal with. It damn sure ain't mine because I wasn't blessed with that kind of patience. But when I see kids, and it's usually that one that's just that knucklehead that just want to buck against everything, that's who I'm drawn to because, baby, you done been through something. And if I can get you, look, you will be powerful and good because you know hurt. And those be the ones, the people who know who done been through something, they be the most useful is just getting them out of that. But I don't know. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. But I'm just ready. Like I said, things are slowly. I try not to despise and ignore the small things that I see changing. Like globally, I look at now, today, and I don't know if it's just because media, and like I said, everything is more publicly broadcast. Back in the day, when there was just a telephone, you know, there was no cell phones. You had your house phone, you know, that your mama couldn't call you or paid you. You knew to be home type action. When people got newspapers and, hey, the news, you know, you got your little local news and that's that because it wasn't all these national channels that you could pick up all this news. So you didn't get to see everything that was going on in the world. But I honestly feel like in my feelings that today, nowadays, this time we living in right now, is the worst for us as far as being attacked by Euro-Americans as it was during the beginning of the end of slavery. I feel like that is where we are, that we have been pushed back there because it seemed like it's such an alarming rate that they are trying to just take us out. Just like then. And that's what I, that's
well,
the only thing I can compare it to. It seems like we're going just as, like, it seems like that whole mobbing up, when they used to mob up and pop up at everybody's house, like, it feels like it's just as strong. The presence of racism and hatred is just as strong. And one thing I can say, though, with all this, everything being so publicized, people used to, putting Obama in office had white people really, there's no racism in this nation. We have a black president. You bitch. You crazy. That really had people thinking racism didn't exist because there was a black president that was placed there strategically for this purpose anyways and other purposes, but whatever to that. But now with so much people having so much access to be able to post things, so many people are starting to see that this stuff really does happen for real. So yeah, it does. When it's not a person's life, they don't live it. They didn't have to pick up a phone call and hear, oh, My cousin JJ just got shot by the police. They're not having to deal with this, so it's not a reality to them. But being able to actually see it now, it's a reality, and now so more people are exposed to it and knowing that it does still exist. I live in Mississippi. I ain't no way you really still think, you were thinking racism don't exist anymore, and you right here in the heart of it.
Shit, I live in Texas, so it ain't.
Right.
Different where you at than where I'm at it, and it's on a grander scale here in this big old son of a bitch, this big raggedy ass country state. But yeah, I got about
seven more minutes. With the kids. That thing y'all had going on with the kids, real quick. Did they ever say? I know I read something about the school district was saying that they did get disciplined, blah, 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 but they weren't releasing what happened. Did anybody ever find out what kind of discipline they received behind trying to auction off their fellow students?
No discipline has been levied. There was a...
Oh, wow.
There was a school meeting, and I'm going to have to Google to see what actually happened, too, so I can update on that. But, yeah, as far as I know right now, nothing has happened because they're trying to downplay that as cyberbullying is what they're trying to call it instead of what it is, a hate crime. Oh, no, let me tell you this right here about I grew up in a little small town about like the town you live in called Sulphur Springs. It's about 80 miles east of Dallas here, where I live at now. But in between my hometown and Dallas is another little town, Greenville, Texas. So how about in Greenville, Texas, on last week, a teacher, there's a student laying on, I don't know who took the picture of it, there's a student laying on the floor and there's a teacher standing with her foot on his damn neck.
Ain't no way.
So... These are the times that we live in. Now, okay, check this out. Update on the story comes out, right? The mother knows the teacher. So guess what the black mother said? It was a joke. I know her. There was nothing.
Oh, no, ma'am.
So do you know what? That's what's wrong with us. Do you not see what the hell has been going on in this country over the last 10 years, you know, and that is nothing to joke about. Just like hanging up fucking nooses, that's nothing to fucking joke about in my world. You know, Because
if you
everybody
come and you know her, if you knew you,
what that
she would have knew not to play like.
Exactly. You're goddamn right, because nothing's funny about that. Just like after Trayvon Martin got shot, well, what did ignorant-ass white people wear as costumes for Halloween the following year? Fucking hoodies with blood spots on them and shit. Walking around with Skittles and a fucking Arizona tea. See, the white folk think shit like that's funny. But if the shoe's on the other foot and white folk getting strung up, there's a movie that I've been waiting to come out. I can't think of the name of it right now, but it's a reversal movie where white people are in our role and we're in their role.
Hey,
now,
you remember
see,
they already made a movie like that with John Travolta played in it back in the 80s?
Yeah,
I think.
White Man's Burden years ago. Yeah, I saw that one. They got a new
movie.
The new one is called Cracker. Cracker is the name of this movie. That's the name of the movie. But they have yet to put a link up. I haven't saw it yet. And it's supposed to came out like last June. So, but until they experience exclusion and pain at the same time, they not going to understand. But see, their day is coming. Their day is coming because just like happened to us, is going to happen to them because they don't feel like, see, the thing about them, check them out. I want you to check them out. They never atone for what they do. They don't ever feel like they have to say they sorry for what they've done, and that
nope.
is why they're going to pay dearly. And I'm just waiting for that day. And just like I always say, it's a joke, but I'm serious. I'm going to buy one named Sam and change his name to Jamal.
Okay.
And
look, they keeping their eye on Main Street. They love to keep their eye on our what they call like to call us our urban and inner city and low income. They keeping their eye on that, but what they don't realize is maybe over decades we have been building lawyers and doctors and business owners. Don't get it twisted. Yeah, we just like they have trailer parks and low income and below middle-class people in this world, yeah, we still have people that still reside in the ghetto and they're struggling, but, baby, we have been becoming strong over the past few decades. They sleeping on us, and that's how it's going to get them. They say that's all they put in the news. You rarely see anything about the progress we're making, but you know what? Being real, I like that. You keep sleeping on us. That's what you do. We talk about the issues that we have, but just know we have been making progress. But no thanks to them, we make progress because when we're placed in bad situations, regardless of what it looked like, regardless of this propaganda that they put out there that we all lazy and that we don't do this and all we wait is handouts, a lot of us making moves. We do what we have to do. We have family structure. It's just those that we feel left behind, we have passion for, and we really want to reach out to them. We're trying to reach. Don't get it twisted because, baby, you can never have too many soldiers in your army. But that's where they messing
exactly.
up at. They like to keep every day. That's all you see on the news is this, the bad that goes on within our community. And that's why a lot of white people look who don't know, who have never really, you know, that class of white people who've never really been around black people, they don't be around black people. All they see is what they see on TV, what they see us portrayed as. You know what I mean? They have no idea. Baby, we come and we do just as much as y'all do, but this is all they show you. So when we do come and we start walking all over y'all and we do have our Stevens and turn them to Jabaris, and I'm going to name mine Kunta. You name yours what you want, but mine going to be named Kunta. That's a given. It has to be. His going to be named. Mine, his name going to be Kunta. I made my mind. But we, you know, and that's the funny part to me. And when we talking a lot, I think about that. It run across my mind. I don't too much be going to say it. I said, but they have no idea. Do you know how many black women are leading in college graduates? No, we outranking everybody. Come on now. We are in by numbers, we are highest ranking. Like, so y'all really sleeping on us and trying to portray us to be all single mothers and you know, welfare recipients. Yeah, you keep putting that image out there.
But see, what we have to do, I'm actually out of time, but I'm going to keep going. But what we have to do with that is we have to put ourselves back together. And what I mean by that is the black man and the black woman. Because this system, ever since we have been subjected to this country, this system has done everything in its power to keep the black man and the black woman separate. And I think that the biggest part of the equation for us is to, I say this a lot too, rebuild the black family, where you have a man, a woman, and children who see that functioning. And that is what is missing. Because when we work the way we're supposed to as a unit, well, our children's development is guaranteed, because he sees a functioning family, and he's coming from within a functioning family. So that makes all the difference in the world. And that's what will bring about the change that we need to change this condition, because that will instill self-pride, self-respect, and all that comes along with that. You understand? See, then you won't have nobody from the outside that will be able to come in and tell our youth who they are and what they are, because they will know who they are and where they come from. See, that's why we have got to be the foundation. You know, I mean, we got to take this role seriously, because we have lost great elders, but for every great elder that's lost, one of us needs to step up and fill those shoes. Every time we lose one, it's time for one of us to fill those shoes. But it all starts, like I say, family first. Family is what makes the community, unity. So I think I'll close on that. I appreciate y'all calling in. I'm way over time. But Brother Ozzy, Sister Kia, also caller 1053, I appreciate you calling in, listening as well. I appreciate everybody who listened online. Another good show, another good topic. And this, like I say, it's what it's all about, just conversing and solidifying the network. Working and talking about the solutions. And no, we're not all going to have the same idea for a solution, but we can't let that stop us from getting to the solution, because we all want the same thing. And just like I've always said, because I'm a driver, I just always use this as an example. I know how to get to Pittsburgh, and it's more than one way to get there. And it don't matter how you get there, which route you take, just as long as you get your ass there at the meeting point. Because that's what it's all about, get to the meeting point where we can do what needs to be done. And like I always say, y'all, let's plan, organize, and unify. I love y'all. Thank y'all for listening. This has been the Panther Party Radio Network, The Big Picture, with Melvin Siri Jr. Peace, power, love, I'm out.
Survive. I'm so glad. As it relates to across America. Survive to now get on.
Dead real. Yo, why is Jada kiss as hard as it gets? Why is the industry designed to keep the artists in debt? And why them dudes ain't riding if they party a set? And why they never get it popping but they party to death? Yeah, and why they gon' give you life for a murder? Turn around, only give you 8 months for a burner. Going down, why they selling people CDs for under a dime? And if it's all love, daddy, why you come with your nine? Why my homies ain't get that cake? Why is the brother up north better than Jordan that ain't get that break? Why you in stack instead of trying to be fly? Why is ratting at an all-time high? Why are you even alive? Why they kill Tupac and Chris? Why at the bar you don't take straight shots instead of popping Chris? Why them bullets have to hit that door? Why did Kobe have to hit that raw? Why he kiss that raw? Why?